moving on the streets.
If we can touch that one gang member with that one word, we can reach entire gangs. We can reach entire cities.
We, the people of God, are going to bring the light into the darkness.
They're like sheep without a shepherd.
They don't know him yet.
A lot of times I feel trapped.
Anyone that's growing in light is going to have an increasing heart for those who are in darkness.
Go in his power and in his love and demonstrate who he is.
I say a few people made a believer out of me.
We send him out two by two.
To a wounded and dying world. Not to condemn, but to love.
Know his love, man. He really loves you.
The dead raised, the sick healed, devils cast out in great measure, the poor looked after, and it should be normal Christianity.
God's heart burns for the lost, and he wants us to take the prophetic to the streets.
Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name's Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program. It's going to be so exciting. We're going to hear a story about how a drug addict actually flushed 10 grams of cocaine down the sink because he was so convicted by the Spirit. Stay tuned for the entire program because there's that and more. Welcome to Insights. I'm excited about today's program. We have with us Sean Gaby. And Sean, it's wonderful to have you with us. You are part of our Extreme Prophetic Outreach team in Ottawa, Canada. And you've been hitting the streets for a while. In fact, you've only been a Christian for just less than 5 years. And you're just burning for Jesus. Mm-hmm. You came from a background of a broken home and religious background that you rebelled against. And then, you know, in your rebellion, God got a hold of you and you had a visitation of the glory of the Lord that set you straight and on fire. So it's great to have you with us. You know, I was reading this morning out of Matthew 10, and it talks about the commissioning of the 12 disciples into their sent one anointing. And you know, those 12 disciples were young people. Mm-hmm. They were young men. Yeah. And that's who you are. You represent the younger generation. So tell me a bit about what's God been doing in your life. And I know that you've had some exciting experiences in New Orleans, but also on the streets of Ottawa, and you're taking teams out. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, we're just doing some prophetic evangelism on the streets. We bring teams into Mardi Gras, and we'll set up actual teams beside the psychics. We'll do prophetic booths, free spiritual reading booths beside the psychics. We'll actually have longer lines than they do, and we'll just kind of bring the true in the midst of all the false, right? So two years ago, we had a team of people on the streets in Mardi Gras in the homosexual area, mm-hmm. and we were just loving on the homosexuals and just, you know, talking about Jesus to people. And there was a woman, I got a phone call on my cell phone from one of my teammates. And there was a woman there, and she was so drunk and so disoriented, she lost her husband in the midst of all the crowds, she lost her friends, had no cell phone, didn't know where her hotel was,
wow.
couldn't find her way back, and she was puking and all this. And so we went over there, and we were just prophesying life over her. Just prophesying mm-hmm. life over her. You know, you are loved by God. Even though she wasn't receiving it, even though in the natural everything said, well, there's no point, you know. And the
right.
church would say, there's no point to talk to a drunk person because they'll forget the next morning.
Right.
But we just kept believing that. The Lord was saying, you know, just keep prophesying into the void and darkness.
And the Bible says that when you release the word, it doesn't return void, but
exactly.
it accomplishes everything it's sent to do.
Yeah.
So even if their natural mind isn't connecting, their spirit is receiving.
Exactly. And in Proverbs 18:21, it says, the power of the tongue is life and death,
mm-hmm.
and those who love it will eat its fruit. And so we just kept doing it and prophesying. And we didn't see much change at all, actually, that night. And we don't even know what happened. The next year, we're back in the same street, the same day, 1 year later. I had the same girl on my team as that last year, and we see the same woman that we prophesied a year prior witnessing on the streets a 1 year later with her husband. They went back apparently and had this encounter with Jesus, and they both became Christians, and they were doing the same thing that we were doing a year prior. So we got to eat the fruit of our labors of just being faithful with the word.
That is so awesome. And so basically you just grabbed whoever was interested. I know that it was a bit of an organized outreach,
yep.
but people that just wanted to go and spread the gospel. And so you took them, positioned them on the street. You know, we were in that street you know, just a little while ago, about 1 year after the hurricane, we went, and you know, those streets were empty. There was no psychics there. There was no tarot card readers. It was empty. And I remember thinking, we've got to have the church come into this. We have to fill that void. But that's what you were doing. Now, you said earlier that the lineups to your booths
were longer than
the lineups to the psychics. Tell us a bit about that.
Because it's free. You know? All the psychics, all the tarot card readers, they charge money. But for us, it was free. So they just, I think it just drew the people. They were like, why is it free? Why is it free? But Jesus is free and he's spiritual.
Jesus said, freely, freely you have received. So freely, freely give. Oh, that's so exciting. Mm-hmm. Now, you actually, you got so charged up about prophetic evangelism and you know, we're reading in the Bible all the truth about reaching the lost and using prophetic gifts in that. And then you started teaching it yourself, didn't you?
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about how you train people.
Well, basically, it came out of a six-month season of just praying for 4 to 8 hours a day. I just read the Bible, just prayed, learned to hear my Father's voice. I had no grid for this stuff. And I'd be going, I would go to the streets and just try it, just do it. I learned by doing. And so eventually what happened was the Lord kind of just gave me this desire to just start teaching it. You know, I had some stuff, I'd written some stuff, I just, my own life experiences, and I just started to be faithful, a faithful steward with what God had given me. I started with 13 people, that's it, in a little house, and didn't know what I was doing. I was so unorganized, I had no structure, no book yet, nothing.
I just
did it, and then we brought them to the street at the end and saw some powerful things happen.
And so, God will always confirm his word with signs and wonders. Well, Sean, you're one of our itinerant ministers, so people can get in touch with you if they go on our website and look up the itinerant team, and you're on there, and they can bring you into their area or whatever. But we've got a lot more to share with them, because some of the testimonies that have come about, because you just basically said yes to God. You know, you didn't have a lot of Bible school training. You didn't have even your life together before you came to the Lord. But you were willing and you said yes to God, and he's using you in powerful ways. So when we come back, we are going to hear more testimony about what God is doing on the streets. There are some chilling testimonies to come. We'll be right back.
Deep calls unto deep. Attend an extreme prophetic event in your area.
I don't know about you, but I always want to go deeper into God. My heart longs for the deeper things of the Spirit, and so we have designed a conference to fulfill the needs of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness like me. It's called Deep Calls to Deep, and it's going to be in Phoenix, Arizona, April 12th to the 15th. And we've got Mal Tari, who's the author of Like a Mighty Rushing Wind. He was a revivalist in the Indonesian revival. In fact, when I first got saved, I read that book, and it just transformed my life. It was amazing. Walking on water, turning water into wine. These types of miracles are still happening today. Along with Mal Tari, we're going to have Charlie Robinson and Prophet Len Zodeman and myself, and our whole Extreme team will be there. Steve Swanson will be leading worship. We are going to have an amazing time. We're expecting great impartation to go into the deeper things of God. Why don't you join us?
Register online at extremeprophetic.com or call 866-980-5464 today.
Welcome back. We're in God Talk right now, and we're going to hear testimonies of what the Lord is doing amongst the unsaved as the church just goes out on the streets and the highways and byways and prophesies and releases the power of God. You know, as we share testimony, it just builds the faith in people. It says we overcome by the word of our testimony. And so, Sean, it's great to have you back, and I know that you have reams and reams and reams of testimonies because you just go out all the time and make it happen. Every time we go out in the name of the Lord with an expectation for him to move, of course, we're going to build testimonies into our lives because he'll move every time, right?
That's true.
But you were sharing with me a story about a person who is in the occult, and I think this took place in a coffee shop or something. So why don't you tell us that story? What did God do there?
Yeah, I was in the States a couple of years ago, and we would go into this sort of occultic coffee shop every week talking about Jesus to people. Sort of a lot of Satanists, New Age people would hang out there.
So you actually went into an occult coffee shop.
Yeah, it wasn't really an occult coffee shop, but all of them, they all hung out there.
Right.
You know, it was kind of like the society of people there.
And bringing we'd go light in into the darkness.
Exactly. Like, we'd have witches would come in, warlocks would come in, all that kind of stuff.
And you're not afraid of them?
No, I love them.
Tell me why you're not
right
afraid
in, you know?
Of them.
I don't know. They're just normal people with just different beliefs. That's
they're spiritual people, aren't
exactly.
they? They love the realm of the spirit.
Yeah.
But they're confused, and they don't know the truth, so the devil's deceived them. So we have true spirituality. We need to go reach them. That's what you're doing.
And they're so hungry for spiritual things. That's
oh,
the
yeah.
thing. And so I would go in there, and one day, you know, John 5:19 says that Jesus said, I only do the things I see my Father doing, that I can do nothing on my own initiative. So I said, okay, God, you know, show me in a vision what's going to happen tonight at this coffee shop so I can carry out your will. And so I listened for about 2 hours by myself in my room before I left. And I went into this vision, and what the Lord told me through this vision was, Sean, when you go there tonight, you're going to see a girl sitting at a round table in her late teens, wearing a black shirt with blonde hair, very frail looking. She, when she was 5 and 6 years old, she was abused by her father. The first letter of her first name is J. Moved from a different state to come here. Tell her I'm going to heal her of the mental and emotional baggage she's still carrying from her childhood. And it was so detailed. Actually, like all of us, we kind
of
doubt, you know. We just,
yeah,
the flesh and the spirit, they war against one another, right? And I wrote it down on my journal, faithfully.
So just a minute now. So you're waiting, you said about 2 hours.
About two
Does
hours.
That mean the first hour and a half you weren't getting very much?
It was about in the first hour and a half where I got this vision.
Yeah.
I was just sitting in stillness.
Because I find a lot of times when you begin to seek God, you just go blank and you get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get discouraged unless you just remain.
Remain.
You know, unless you just remain and continue to hear and listen. And then sometimes it comes in real faint little thoughts. And so you have to kind of write those down.
Yeah.
That's where the doubt comes in, because you think, oh, God, if only you could speak in a big, booming, audible voice.
Exactly.
But God's training us to get very, very close to Him so that we'll hear, even as whispered. And we have to learn to trust those things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And even just like Samuel, he was hearing something, but he wasn't recognizing that it was God. He was called four times, and he had to have Eli instruct him, tell him, listen, go back and listen this time. I think it's God, you know. So I just believed that it was God. I wrote that on my journal, and I went there that night, and I had 3 hours to be there. My ride was leaving at 11. I had 3 hours to be there, and the first 2.5 hours, I didn't see any girl. And I'm like, God, if I don't find this person, it's going to really, you know. And
it's
so
going to shake your faith.
Yeah, it's going to shake my faith. And so I had half an hour left, and I began to walk. The coffee shop is a two-story house, sort of.
Right.
And I began to walk the top floor of this coffee shop, just kind of praying in the spirit. And I stopped, and I looked, and there was a round table, and there was two girls, one wearing a black shirt, pale-looking, with blonde hair. And I just felt I didn't have a confirmation of an angel. I just sensed in my spirit, this is the one. So I brought my journal. I'm going to do the things I see my father doing. I brought my journal. And I said, listen, I don't want to freak you out. My name's Sean. I'm from Canada. You know, I don't know who you are. You don't know who I am. But what's your name? She's like, my name's Jennifer. So Jay. So I knew at that point that this was the girl.
This was the girl.
This was the girl. So I said, Jennifer, I don't want to freak you out, but I believe that God speaks today. And I believe that God showed me you in a vision before I came here because He loves you that much.
Right.
So I just began to read my journal entry the way I saw it in heaven, the way I saw it in my vision.
Right.
And the girl began to just weep. And her friend looks up at me and says, oh, how do you know this? And that's dead on. Are you a psychic? And I'm like, no, I'm not a psychic. I just believe that God speaks today.
You know what's sad is that the world only knows, like, if a person can release God-given destiny, they don't know anything else except the psychics, because that's all who has done it, even though they operate in false power. But because the church has never been out there doing it, all they have to relate to are the psychics. So we have to fill that void. And that's what you were doing that night.
Exactly. And I believe, like in Daniel, God is raising up Daniels again that are better, that 10 times better, it says in Daniel, than all the astrologers and magicians and enchanters of our day. And so I began to tell her this. And I said, listen, you just witnessed by a demonstration that Jesus Christ is for real. You know now that He loves you. He showed some Canadian dude in a vision before He came here, before I don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
And everything that I said was bang on. She was 19 years old, moved from Buffalo to come there when she was 5 and 6. She was abused by her father. And I prayed. I said, listen, God's going to heal you right now of that mental and emotional baggage you're still carrying. And I prayed for her. I had my hands on her in that coffee shop. Everyone around me is like, what's going on? They're all watching. I'm on my knees in the coffee shop praying for her. And I said, listen, after that, you can know this Jesus right now. in relationship. She's like, I want to.
Wow.
Anyways, a week later, she told all of her friends, I came back and I was talking about my testimony on this balcony to about 8 people. And she was there again, and she told all her friends, I didn't know this. And I was telling my testimony. It wasn't a profound prophetic word. And in the middle of while I was saying this all, they were kind of all just like, yeah, right, I have a testimony too. You know, that's great for you, but not good for me, you know. And she piped up and said, hey guys, this is the guy from last week. And they all believed. It was a Samaritan at the
just
well experience.
Just like John 4.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, I love this, Sean. And I just commend you for your faith and your boldness and taking the risks. And sometimes you just have to do that, is just leap over and take those risks. What about the drug addict that flushed down the sink 10 grams of cocaine?
So basically, long story short, I met up with this one of the bigger drug dealers in my city. And while I was talking to him, I heard the Lord say, ask him about some of his drug trips that he's been on, because I tried to speak to him, but he has no idea. This guy had no grid for church, nothing spiritual, nothing at all. Long story short, these two trips that he had were spiritual experiences from God. I got to interpret them for him, tell him that.
Now, just a minute. Two trips from God? That's because God is so merciful that even if a person is in the midst of sin, he'll find a way to bring revelation.
Exactly.
So it's not actually the drug that produces the God thing, but God will use any entrance he can into a person's heart.
Yeah.
And so he will be there to pull them out of that darkness.
Yeah. And he'll use what's bad to turn it into good.
Yeah.
He's a redemptive God. And so he was speaking to this guy, a friend of mine, and I had no idea. I mean, he had no idea he was speaking. I got to interpret it for him. Anyways, long story short, a week later, prayed for him, came to Christ, and I watched him go into his house and flush 10 grams of cocaine down the sink. You know, it was just a radical transformation.
What was 10 grams of cocaine worth at that time?
I don't know, maybe $800, $900, I'm guessing. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and he just flushed it down.
Yeah.
Wow, that is so powerful. Yeah. That's the power of God convicting a person. And we're seeing that a lot, you know. In the Jesus People movement, people would come off heroin addictions and that, just like that, right on the streets and never touch it again, going through all their paraphernalia away and stuff like that. Okay, one more testimony. What about Mexico?
So we were in Mexico, and there was about three of us with, there was about four of us, three people with me, and we were outside this hospital, and we were going into the hospital to pray for the sick. And I was outside, and I had a cut-off shirt, sandals, shorts, and it's considered unsanitary to wear sandals in a Mexico hospital, so you can't even really go in past certain areas. But we were outside, and there was a guy by a food stand. I heard the Lord say to me, go pray for him. Now, I had no idea why, so I went over to him and asked him, what's wrong? Is anything wrong with you? Can I pray for you? He said, yeah, I have cataracts over his eyes. So we prayed for his eyeballs, and within like 30 seconds, the guy was instantly healed. He was freaking out, jumping and dancing in the street. And so at that point, the Lord told me there's a shift in the atmosphere. It was like the kingdom of God began to come down on the earth as it is in heaven. And we walked into the hospital and walked into a waiting room of about 10 people. 10 or 11 people, and they were all waiting to get into the hospital, obviously, and there was two women at the very start, and one of them had a knee problem for about 27 years, couldn't walk on that leg, and the one beside her, the same thing for about 9 years, couldn't walk on that leg, and they're waiting to get in, and we knelt down, and we prayed for both of them, and they were both instantaneously healed, and they were just so full of joy, and everyone around them saw what was happening. So I stood up with my translator. I said, make sure you say what I say.
And this is right in the waiting room.
This is in the waiting room.
Emergency.
And you gotta understand, like, my dreadlocks are down. I do not look like the spiritual, you know.
Yeah, you don't look like the average preacher.
Exactly, and I had a cut-off shirt, so I'm in there, and I said to the translator, make sure you say what I say. And so I begin to talk about, you know, you just witnessed by a demonstration, once again, that Jesus Christ is for real. They all put their hands up to receive Christ in this waiting room. And we prayed for every single one of them, and every single one of them, except for one person, was healed.
Wow.
And the word spread in the hospital, and the nurses came out and began to invite us deeper. Now, it no longer matter what we look like, because the kingdom, you know, it's not a matter of talk, but
exactly.
of power.
It's not about outward appearance.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's about the presence of Jesus within.
Exactly. And so we were invited, and people started to get healed, delivered all over this hospital. By the end of the morning, they put a hospital gown on me, and I was walking into rooms where people were unconscious and praying for them and blessing them, and it was just so incredible.
And did any of those that were unconscious come into consciousness at that time?
No, I didn't see any of that, but it was just the fact that we got the favor to go in there was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
It was all Jesus. Was
and
all
sometimes,
Jesus.
You know, when you pray for the sick or an unconscious person, the moment you pray, something shifts. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the full manifestation will happen right at that moment, but something shifts inside that turns their conditioning.
Yeah.
that they've been in, turns that condition over to good at that point. So if you've gone in, let's say a few days later, you might have seen them not there anymore because they walked out whole. And so it's always good just to obey that commission and lay hands on the sick. Jesus said, if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And that doesn't mean necessarily right away, but you have to have that faith element to know that they will. Yep. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. We've seen that in waiting rooms too. You know, you just go in and start praying for the sick, and they get encouraged, even prophesy over them. We've gotten kicked out of a few waiting rooms in Canada for sure. But you know, it's funny, isn't it, that you know, I know one of our teams were in an emergency ward one time. It was in the middle of the night. Everybody was sick and they were waiting. Everyone was lined up. They started going and just asking people if they wanted prayer. People were saying yes. They were desperate to be touched by the power of God. And then they were getting touched and healed and leaving the emergency room healed. And the administrative staff there got upset and told us to leave. Like, it doesn't make sense. But, you know, God is sending His people into dark places.
That's true.
And you're doing an amazing job. I remember Faye Teen Crisco was in Vancouver with a team one night. They were out on the streets and they just felt the leading, hey, let's go into the hospital and, you know, get in there. So they actually put the camera up in the little window going into the emergency room and filmed some of it.
Wow.
I think some of those clips are actually on her site. And people were getting healed in there. So it's like so exciting. It's just exactly like what you just said. You know, if we'll just go there in the boldness of the Spirit and proclaim the gospel, we can see so much done. You know, we want to encourage you. What Sean has shared isn't just for Sean Gaby. His heart is to see the whole body of Christ move into a place where we can testify of the goodness of the Lord and share His power. That power of Christ dwells within you. Mm-hmm. Christ in you, the anointed one in you, is the hope of glory. Why don't you go out today and share your light with those that don't know Him yet?
Destiny Words are prophetic words of encouragement from the heart of God just for you.
Someone's been watching the program and you were really excited about the testimony of the drug addict flushing down the cocaine into the sink. And the reason why is because you did something similar to that. You actually got delivered from a drug addiction years ago. But recently, you've been feeling the tugs back and forth and even stepped into an environment of people that are kind of, you know, doing the party thing and using a little bit here and there. And you're actually getting pulled. And the Lord's giving you a warning right now. And He's saying, just walk away from those friends. You're not strong enough right now to be in that environment. And there's some things pulling on your heart. The enemy's trying to set you up, giving you a distraction unto destruction. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, I call you safe right now, and I call you pulled away from that which will destroy you. In the name of Jesus, I call you free. And you know, it was the Spirit of God that set you free from that addiction in times gone by. It was His Spirit, and His Spirit is still with you right now and wants to give you a really good life.
I just feel like there's a guy, a young man in your mid-20s, your name's Jake, and I feel like all this stuff that we've talked about has been stirring you up, and you've wanted so bad to go and do this stuff on the streets, but there's been this like fear that paralyzes you, and it's like you're waiting for this deliverance from God to like just push you out there. But I feel like God's saying, just go. The power isn't as you go. It's as you go, He'll follow, and He'll back you up. And I just feel like the Lord's saying to you, just do it. Just do it. Just don't think about it. Don't intellectualize it. Just go and do it. And you'll make mistakes. But through your mistakes, you'll learn, and God will totally speak to you and use you because of your willingness. Just make yourself available. God wants to use you.
This is kind of an embarrassing word, maybe, but there's a young girl. You've been watching the program, and you've been listening to Sean, and all of a sudden you started to get these dreams. Oh, if only I could find a guy like that, you know, someone who really loves the Lord, who's really hot after God, because it's been your dream to marry a real man of God, someone who's got the fire in him, but you haven't seen it. So you've been kind of like, you know, thinking these things as you've been watching the program. But I have a word for you. The Lord says, don't settle for anything less than the best. because there has been a little bit of distraction there in the past where, you know, maybe someone was available but not the right one, and you knew it in your heart. And the Lord says, don't step into anything except the best, because he said the best is coming. The best is coming. That which you've been dreaming about, that which you've been longing for, is actually going to be fulfilled. So don't let down the bar. Keep the bar raised up high, and just continue to serve the Lord with fervency of heart, because God is going to meet the desire of your heart.
There's a bunch of people watching right now, and it's like almost like everything you're hearing, it's like the first thing you're thinking in your mind is like, I can't do that. You know, I don't hear from God like that, or I don't get visions, or I don't have those experiences. And it's like Samuel. It's like a lot of you are like Samuel in his pre-prophet days. It's like you're hearing something, but you have not yet been recognizing that it was God the whole time speaking to you. And I feel like the Lord's saying to you, listen, it is me speaking to you. Don't doubt anymore. Don't doubt anymore. It is God speaking to you. Just respond. Just respond like Samuel responded. But it's like God wants to encourage you. You have been hearing. Because John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. You're hearing his voice, but you're not recognizing that it's God. Just begin to step out and you'll begin to see that actually is God speaking to you.
We are committed to seeing you resourced. When you hear testimonies of people going to the streets and getting set free from addictions and having destiny words prophesied over their lives, maybe that intimidates you. Maybe you think, how do you do that? I could never do that. I'm not gifted like that. But do you know that all the promises in the kingdom are for all the people, and that includes you? And so we have resource to help you. We've developed teaching on actually just very practical aids on how to prophesy, how to hear the voice of God, how to love people, how to take things to the streets. And we've got this available for you. I've got a very special offer this month as a gift to you. You'll find out more about it, and then I'll be right back because I'm going to pray for the power of God to come on your life.
This month, Patricia would like to gift you with her teaching, Empower to Heal, with every purchase of a DVD or CD set of the School of Extreme Prophetic. And as an extra bonus gift, Patricia will also include a free school manual. Order today. Call 1-866-980-5464 or order online at extremeprophetic.com. Special order XP35.
Now, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for the power of God to come afresh on your life so that you can bring light into the darkness. Father, I pray for all those that are watching this. I ask, Lord God, that you ignite them afresh with your glory, with your empowerment, with your love, and that they would go out into the streets and express it into the marketplace, into the workplace, the schools, the hospitals. Send them forth as sent ones in your name.
We need to have a desperation to understand the things of the kingdom, the things of God, the things that are way out there, far beyond our natural understanding. And God wants you to have that hunger. God wants to give you hunger, but he just needs you to be available. You know, and if we respond to God, if we say, God, listen, I'm willing to go out to the streets. I'm willing to try. I'm willing to make a mistake. God will use you. God will put a grace on you, and he will use you. Despite your schooling, despite, you know, your training, just go. Just go. Because the power isn't always when you go. It's as you go, the power will follow you. So I'm just going to pray right now that God would give you a spiritual hunger, a spiritual desperation, just to understand the things of God, the things that are far beyond your natural understanding. So just put your hand right now towards the screen. Father, in Jesus' name, you love your sons and daughters. You want your sons and daughters to have all understanding, to have understanding of dreams and visions, just like Daniel. You want to raise up Daniels in this hour. So God, release the Daniels. Release that heart.